The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is securing our financial future through IT, and our guests for today's show are Rudy Wolves, who is the Chief Customer Service and Chief Information Officer for ING Direct. Good morning, Rudy.
Good morning.
How is life with you, sir?
I'm doing well. We're working hard to save Americans money and using the IT platform to deliver a great experience.
A great message for the world. We have William John, who's the Senior Research Analyst with Financial Management and GRC for Aberdeen Group. Good morning, Will.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good, sir. How is God life with you there?
Fantastic. Well, hey, you know, with the market looking pretty decent this past week, life is good.
Okay. So now, depending on what which side we look from, or for that matter, any side we look from, IT, why we are doing this show is because IT looks like the very fabric for this industry. And whether it is a downturn or upturn, you cannot live without that particular function. But how has the game changed for the IT department and for the IT leaders in this particular segment or industry? Rudy, why don't we start with you?
Sure. Well, IT has certainly been a cost containment enabler for the industry for a number of years. But this downturn has certainly created the pressures to make bolder moves with IT and a higher reliance on reducing costs while delivering still a very appropriate and strong customer experience. So for me, it's being able to solidify a lot of the cost saving opportunities and also take some bolder moves in technology. One of them, for example, is looking at things like remote deposit capture. That's a technology leap for customers that both saves them time and money, and technology is there to help with that.
So one is that you just mentioned this cost containment. Given what your organization is or this industry is, it's totally dependent on information. Is it not cost for doing business instead of just calling it cost?
Oh, sure. The cost of doing business is built into the IT component, but I think that you've got, certainly the IT side of it is now so embedded in the business processes that it's now a partner with business versus a supportive technology or supportive component to delivering a financial services a feature or value proposition to a customer. It's now part of the equation, and customers are using the technology themselves, and they're expecting higher technology interactions with their financial partners.
So, Will, in your world, since you kind of look at this and many other industries, but specifically to financial services,
yep.
What Rudy just mentioned, how much of that is a common sentiment across IT and business leadership, the way they look at IT?
It is actually common, and I can tell you that it's for sure growing. So our industry research firm actually conducted a recent study. As you know, we've enjoyed a great market, since March of 2009. And, after a while, in the middle of this year, we saw a little correction. So, that kind of woke a lot of us up in terms of, what exactly went on. Was the market growing too fast and so forth? But then came, as we all know, the flash crash that happened. All around, the sentiment around the capital market, kind of surrounded itself around risk and compliance and how technology can be best leveraged to prevent any kind of future mishaps or unpredictability. So one of the things I focused on was kind of understanding the competitive pressures and the drivers that impacted most traders and investors, which ultimately delivered an impression out to their customers or the end investors. So we did a simple survey reach out, and from the firms that we reached out to, 36% felt that technology was critical, and kind of dealing with the competitive threats from other institutions, because there are so many other firms out there that are competing for the same business. They also voiced that 29% of them said that, there were just tremendous expectations from the clients on investment growth, despite a relatively flat market. 27% said, we're looking internally. We're looking at the fact that we want to streamline operations and really focus on how well our investors and portfolio managers and the analysts are doing within the firm, and we really want to heighten the alpha performance expectations. And finally, at 21%, they all came in saying that IT is a tremendous asset when dealing with tightened regulatory compliance requirements.
Now, Rudy, for your world, we know that while you have some directives from the business side to build value for the business and grow it, at the same time, we all want to be customer-centric in the way we deliver. So as an end customer, and as Will just mentioned, that customers still want a good growth, and of course, fundamentally, they want a secure way of doing that transaction and perhaps some tips and helps on how to identify a good investment option. So on that fundamental level, is your IT or your business strategy as an industry centered around those core fundamentals, or there is some more jazz attached to it, which may not be truly connected to what a customer really wants?
Well, certainly the customers our experience is the customers are looking for a secure, they're expecting security, but that's just, they're expecting the car to work, and they're expecting the security to be there, and we have to do a lot more in the background to continue to deliver that secure experience without the customer feeling it. So, all the safety they put into cars, the customer shouldn't, they hopefully don't burden the customer other than putting the seatbelt on. The airbags, the braking systems, all that stuff all just happens transparently and passively to the customer that's walking into a car. The same thing with the banking financial experience is that the customer expects, the level of security that's going to, make them feel comfortable and also, provide a safe experience for them, but they don't want to be burdened by it. So we spend a lot of energy on delivering that security in a very transparent way. The other aspect is that customers are, time is money, and people are looking for things that save them time. We spend a lot of energy. I see a lot of new systems and vendors providing solutions that are derived around delivering services faster to consumers and allowing them to complete what they wanted to achieve in a shorter period of time. The last area is self-service. Today's customer or investor is much more educated as to what, first of all, what the market's doing and what it can do for them, as well as they have more opinions as to how they want to invest their money or manage their finances. And being really good at producing the self-service platform, which is a highly transparent platform, is critical to winning this game. I mean, it's McDonald's has made perfection out of the drive-thru, and there's a lot of people don't think about the science behind it, but there's a lot of technology and analysis that goes into the order of the menu, the where it's positioned, and the way people drive and all that business. There's a lot of work going there. People don't think about that, but they're at the end of the day, they're getting their meal served quickly, and the customer's involved in a very quick self-service type interaction. So I think those are the areas that have been amplified due to the recent downturn, and financial institutions are willing to take bigger bets on that front.
So, Will, based on what Rudy just mentioned about the kind of things that they are trying to do to perfect the science so that the customer gets the best experience, and when they don't feel any turbulence, that's when they would feel secure and they'll go about making more investments. Now, that is being done from their side. In the studies that you might have conducted or what you've seen in the marketplace, is the customer now feeling warm and fuzzy?
So, Sanjay, one of the things that you'll see is that there's an increased polarity between the type of customers. Rudy has identified, you have folks who are very self-sufficient and want to feel empowered, and there's a set of technologies that allow them to actually achieve a transparency and make informed decisions, you know, with regards to their investments. When the other folks, you know, it's like they just want the institution, you know, to be able to take the lead. And that's where the trust element comes in. They expect a lot of the analysts and portfolio managers and fund managers to be very keen and upbeat in terms of understanding the investment fundamentals and recommend basically path forward. So with two distinct crowd of people, you'll see is that the various types of technology solutions are most certainly be leveraged. For example, let's say folks who are of high net worth, who are working directly with hedge funds, for example. You know, one of the things that customers actually, these funds just don't have visibility to is their personal asset growth, surprisingly. You know, you'll go to any one of their sites and all you really see is a login. And there's really not a whole lot of information past that. You're relying entirely and you're trusting the fund managers to actively, you know, carry and grow your net asset. You know, that said, you know, due to the economy and the fact that it's been a very competitive market, you know, particularly for the hedge funds, you'll see that, you know, most of these funds have opened up to being a little bit more transparent to the customers rather than identifying certain funds and how well they've grown through the years. They will actually set up individual client accounts where they can actually log in and see how much of that growth is attributed to and contributed directly to their own accounts. So it's this level of personalization that we're seeing in the industry, and I think that it'll continue to grow.
It's a very good point that Will made, and I would suggest that, you know, the cost of the technology to deliver that transparency and that one-on-one service to those types of customers is so low, it's almost not plausible that many of these funds don't provide that type of information. So it's going to be an opportunity for a lot of sunlight into areas that really haven't been highly visible.
Absolutely.
Now, Rudy, do you ever find yourself to be stuck between a rock and a hard place when you have fewer funds to invest? At the same time, you see that if this upfront investment was made, it would save the business a ton of money. And when you go to those people, there is a skeptical eye that looks at all of these proposals, given that we are not exactly in the keeping the lights on type of mode, but kind of close to it.
Right, right. Well, any crisis, you know, develops different skills, and you know, I think the teams of, at least the teams I work with, have developed a stronger ability in shaping what the opportunities are. As far as here's a risk reward and trade off that's potential for the investment, and there's a lot of issues that are a lot of opportunities. There's actually more opportunities today to invest and get ROI than there was yesterday.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages. And let's look at, and this is not something where we're going to point fingers, but we have to look at if this meltdown did happen. We tried our best in this industry, but where could the blame be placed? Was it the inefficiency, or was there a lack of checks and balances, or there was a gap in there, or there was some sort of a malintent inside or outside the organization, which, with the help of IT, which we could not recognize beforehand so that we could patch the holes. So what has happened because of which this, what we saw as a meltdown, and what are we doing to make sure it doesn't get repeated? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
Looking
looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Dialogue is the single most powerful leadership tool we have to make a difference in the world. Leading Conversations with host Cheryl Esposito creates a place for that dialogue. Tune into the Voice America Business Channel every Friday as Cheryl hosts new conversations among leaders from around the world in business, government, art, economics, and social change. We'll explore big ideas and everyday actions and learn how their own leadership has led them to discover a newfound sense of possibility in the world. Leading Conversations with Cheryl Esposito, bringing big thinkers together in conversations that make a difference, right here on the Voice America Business Channel every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
The Sports Mavericks Show redefines the elite athlete by bridging the gap between parents, athletes, and the community. Host Ida Moyer, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, brings to the Voice America Network original programming, balancing the pursuit of academic excellence and sports participation. The Sports Mavericks Show airs every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Listeners will be engaged in straightforward talk, spontaneous and unscripted by the experts. Ida and her guests will explore the challenges of success and failure in sports and will help athletes and their parents navigate a transition from high school, college, and then on to the pros. We put fun back into sports and recognize role models in sports through our Sports Mavericks All-Star Award program. Tune in Tuesday evenings at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Ida Moyer and the Sports Mavericks Show right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Welcome back. So, well, let's start with you with respect to where did the things go wrong? I mean, if there was analysis done after whatever happened, but there would be something that we would have also recognized that was that inefficiencies that we had in the system and people process technology, was there some checks and balances related holes that were left which were not filled earlier, and that's what somebody utilized or people with some malintent utilized?
I think it's a whole host of items that you mentioned. And quite frankly, I think one of the things that sticks and resonates very well with the audience is the things that have transpired, which left a really bad taste in a lot of investors' mouth, this past May, where the flash crash happened out in the EU. And you heard that there's a lot of theories, and a lot of it points towards technology, whether it's the fat finger theory that someone actually entered the wrong trade order. We heard that the impact of high frequency traders, where thousands of trades are being executed and triggered a minute. There's huge directional bets that have happened, and technical glitches. So when you put all this together, essentially a lot of it banks on IT, and people see that as a takeaway. But you know what? On the same token, it also presents a huge opportunity for folks who actually provide technology solutions into this space because, they recognize that it is not just about technology but process. And I know Rudy's done a great job of using analogies. So the one I would use here is the company that makes the gun versus the person that actually uses it. Right? There's definitely two sets of perspectives there, and the way that the technology is governed, being relatively new in some aspect, takes some responsibility and some diligence. So, with that, these solution providers now know the potentials of these technologies that are being leveraged by end investors and institutions. And what they can do is overlay that with some compliance structure, some platform that allows for better management of regular compliance as well as risk management. So I think, with the things that have happened, despite the fact that it's left an impression with a lot of investors, but now it definitely has opened up opportunities for a lot of IT leaders to implement solutions that regain the customer's trust.
Now, Rudy, hindsight is 20/20. If you had to look back, and while you were an IT head, but also from a business standpoint, what could have been done differently? And now have people woken up completely? And have they started doing everything at a warp speed so that before another such issue or another such mishap happens, we are able to handle it proactively?
Well, I think that the challenges you see in front of you are people building, you know, utilizing technology as quickly as they can and taking advantage of all the great features of them, but they're not building in the safeguards and the transparency needed to ensure it's running well. I commonly see it done in many projects where, you know, they're rushing to deliver the really slick functionality to an industry, and the controls and safeguards are there. I always, when I speak to large groups about mobile technology, I always ask, who's got a banking app or mobile apps installed on their phones? And I got everyone, mostly everybody puts their hand up, and I say, well, how many of you have virus protection built in, or how many have installed malware protection on their phones? And absolutely nobody puts their hand up. To me, that's an example of everyone rushing to build the technology, but all the complete platform of all the safeguards that are necessary. Now, the good news is that the safeguards are fairly strong in the mobile platform today. But over time, as they grow, it's going to be more and more difficult. Today, Apple and BlackBerry and the store manufacturer Android, they are able to contain a lot of the security concerns because of the way that the technology is constructed, but there's always a rush to get the newest stuff out there, and it's a challenge to ensure that the transparency and the safeguards are delivered with it, which would have which contributes to providing a greater margin of safety.
So would you say that overall focus has been on efficiency and effectiveness versus resiliency of financial services when it comes to either business, the way business is acting, or how IT is allowed to act with respect?
Well, I think they've paired fairly well. And so the resiliency and all of the executives I deal with, they're concerned about resiliency and consistency for customers. And so it's a really high priority for everyone. However, the pace of change is happening so quickly, and the pressure to keep up with that change, creates blind spots, potential blind spots. And you bring up that example of the flash crash. I mean, there's I'm sure that in hindsight, when you designed that system, you would have put in other safeguards to prevent some escalating situation from occurring in the event of a certain scenario. So it's certainly easy to look at the stuff hindsight, but I think it's due to the pace of change, and it's one of the disciplines that senior leadership need to be aware of. Is that as change goes, as the speed of change increases, you also need to have a broader perspective on your solutions.
So, well, this is interesting because Rudy mentions that it is after some point. You can simply not control it. And at the same time, we also have to justify how much of this regulation and how much of resiliency building is even justifiable. Are we now going to start living with the fear of the unknown? And that's going to make us go and take on some counterproductive measures.
So I think Rudy hit a really key point that in the end, it's really about customer expectations, despite the tightening economy, it's definitely been elevated in terms of what they demand and how selective they are with those they deal with in terms of investment firms. So that said, I think there's two core elements. There's the customer's expectation in terms of the safety and also the decreased risk in their investments, and then the other would be basically how well is this investment firm going to perform for me? So it's really these two combinations that will appeal to a customer. So we already talked about some of the safeguarding measures that folks in the investment community are putting in place for the customers. But in terms of performance, we have to really open our eyes and see that it's not really just your standard everyday infrastructure. We're talking about trading in foreign exchanges. We're talking about latency issues, right? So to actually have good performance, you have to have a sound IT structure that allows extremely fast order processing, fast trading, instant currency conversions with foreign exchanges, and to be able to lock in on the shares and prices that are pre-designated. So, with all that said, that all contributes to success, in the end. And when that does come out, it resonates loudly with the customers who benefit from it.
So, Rudy, when you had to go back and talk to your own people, and you were actually working with this mindset that, yes, you have to create resiliency, and also you had to create, a place like a fort, which is very difficult to penetrate. At what point do you think you would say, I've done enough, let's stop here, and let's focus on, of course, growing the business?
Well, we've got strong controls and strong, standards in ensuring that our systems are built in a safe and resilient way. We are an online bank, and that's our number one element of trust for our customers is the safety and resiliency of our platforms. So, it's a fundamental component, and we've defined internally very both culturally and systemically the standards of which we need to be at to be comfortable of releasing new technology or evaluating technology or changing existing technology. So we're very clear on what those need to be, and that's something that doesn't get compromised. However, I would say there's more work involved because of the pace of change. You're trying to get change done in a shorter period of time, and you're reacting to industry change, and you still need to meet your standards. So, it becomes an interesting challenge.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and even look at what are the different pressures that are being put on IT from businesses, customers, and other value chain players who are together helping meet the customer needs. So we'll explore what are those changes that are to be made to IT, and if that increased pressure is there, is having a pressure becoming counterproductive, or is it actually allowing them to do things faster? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Markets up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Wielding power, shaping environments and outcomes, and making things happen are all essential characteristics of great leaders. Yet these qualities alone are not enough to ensure your success. In a complex world, how do you decide what's most important to you? In your career, your relationships, your finances, your family, in the world around you, in the whole of your life at large? Dr. Joseph Riggio, the host of Leadership Intuition, says that personal leadership, the desire to take charge of your life, is the key to creating futures that work and building a life worth living. Join Joseph as he reveals the power of uncovering and living your own personal mythology, the key to personal transformation, exquisite performance, and social influence. Learn to look inside and discover your personal mythology and unique leadership style. Go beyond conventional advice and discover your unique success blueprint on Leadership Intuitions with Dr. Joseph Riggio each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on the Voice America channel. Leadership Intuitions, power, achievement, relationships.
Zoom Leadership.
It's the big picture issues of the day, up close and personal capabilities of leadership, and a desirable future of constant renewal.
Zoom Leadership.
It's the economic crisis made clear, patterns and perspectives of leadership, and the importance of changing the way we pursue our future. Join host John Schmidt every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time.
Zoom Leadership.
An inside look at what's really going on in business, government, and civil society. Tune in every week on the Voice America Business Channel.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So we'll start with you. When we look at the demands that IT is facing from business customer and perhaps other value chain players, they are changing and also increasing. Mm-hmm. And they're also becoming unpredictable.
Yeah.
So what is CIO and or the IT leaders or the IT crew supposed to do? You know, quit the job or
Well, hopefully not. You know, despite with the economic recovery, hopefully they're still getting hefty bonuses. But you know, the way you kind of think about it really is it's actually a dilemma. So, of the CIOs we reached out to through informal surveys, we've gotten a sense is that these pressures are definitely felt. You know, at the customer level, where they demand you know, better interface, user interface, as well as you know, various type of services that are incorporated, whether it's market research, charting, you know, real-time visualization tools, stuff to help them make informed decisions on investments, all on a web platform. And what these feedbacks ultimately trickle back to the IT department at the firm, up to the CIO, then they're left with all these different kind of projects and programs. Then the challenge there becomes, well, where do we find funding, right? I mean, how do I justify this level of project to, say, the CFO to get budget for such a funding? And the CFO will come back to the CIO and says, well, why don't you give me a good ROI case? Meaning that if you can define these potential customer value in terms of dollar signs, we'll be able to compare that against the implementation cost. So that's where the biggest challenge lies, for the CIO to actually look at what needs to be done to satisfy the customers and to gain customer base, and to be able to create a story compelling enough through the senior management at the firm to be able to gain support.
So, Rudy, in your view, how will explain what's going on? How much of that are you experiencing as well, or what you've seen as your counterparts?
Well, I've seen a dramatic improvement in the business side of the business part, I guess business design teams, their awareness of the technology and what's possible and what's not possible and the costs. I think IT spent a lot of energy in the last 10 years educating the business on what technology could do, and today you're starting to see some of the rewards of that by the business appreciating when they use IT as a strategic leverage, and when it's a commodity component, and so it's becoming much more obvious in many ways, and the quality of people, or sorry, not the quality, but the knowledge of the people, the quality of their knowledge of IT items or IT issues are much greater in the business side of the financial institutions. So I think that you know, as Will described, the ability, the finesse for a CIO to describe or sell the opportunity is in some ways easier because of the increased knowledge and awareness of and talent of the people that are, you know, managing the business side.
So, Will, if you were to go out there and look at the overall the trend in which IT is doing or contributing to revive this industry, is it like boiling the ocean, or is it a Herculean attempt if IT was to be left to shoulder this?
I think one of the things that you'll see shift is that instead of introductions of new technologies, these point solutions that aid in one specific aspect of banking investment, you'll see a more of a drive, a business level drive, meaning that with the down economy and the crash and the steady recovery, you'll see from all these elements that a lot of technology vendors are paying very close attention to how the business processes have shifted across the industry, whether or not they're a Fortune 1000, 500 type of firm, or it's a small hedge fund. So when you see that, they will actually design their solutions not only to maintain compliance and actively manage and mitigate risk, but also to adapt to their customers' needs. So I think you'll see that shift in phenomenon.
So, Rudy, in your view, are you ready to be Hercules?
Well, at the end of the day, it's part of being Hercules is dealing with the showing what's possible and building momentum through both your own team and the business team and finding that right collaboration. One of the tactics we tend to use is we do a lot of embedded team building. So to deliver a certain technology within a business domain or business line of business, we actually embed the development teams inside for a short period of time to truly get the teams working. And you're basically getting the power of a team versus the power of individuals. And that's the way that instead of me bulking up to be Hercules, I find the way to get the 1+1=3 type of program and leveraging the teams together.
Now, while you try to be Hercules and you have to bulk up overnight, then there could be some more mistakes that could start getting committed by not only you as an IT leader, as a representative of the IT leadership community, and also by your IT crew. Can we afford to have that happen?
Oh, of course not. It's the confidence in consumers is vital. So that's the most important role for the CIO in any institution is to safeguard the safety of the platform. And there's always going to be challenges. I mean, it's not it's a rough world out there, and there will be mistakes and there will be incidents. But it's number one is minimizing them, and the second is reacting to them and learning from them. So being able to make things better, and you can draw that analogy to every other industry, the food industry and the automotive industry. Everyone's had setbacks, and the real stars, the real Hercules, are the ones that take that. First of all, prevent as many as possible, and secondly, deal with the outcomes and make it better.
So while you could be the person who's taking this on, but then you have to have some influence management because all of these people don't report to you, which is customer or the business unit leaders or even your partners or your value chain players. What is that you have up your sleeves, that specific trick or special tricks, which would separate men from boys when it comes to IT leader in this situation in particular? Because there are regulations that they would want to or not want to adhere to, or there would be other demands that you would want to place on these people in order for you to be successful as an IT organization as well as to make the business successful. But not everybody would want to listen to what you want to do.
Sure. Well, the goal is not to get to that stage where you're holding a business hostage on your own values, and I think it's an evolutionary thing that you're able to construct a framework of culture and values that are consistent across the business and technology that issues of risk or security or resiliency aren't aren't disputed. Now there are arguments about, you know, the way in which we address those things, but the, you know, the standards are never an argument for us as far as, you know, those components. So I don't really experience that particular, you know, dilemma. However, I mean, I can see it being an issue, and my stance would be, you can't solve it through being you know, a dictatorial type CIO, and you can't solve it through through pure force. You've got to get the business involved.
Now, Will, IT could be only as good as the business, the way the business wants to run its business. So do you see the business also undergoing or ready to be transformed in order for IT to do its job in this specific industry?
That's a very interesting question. You know, as of now, at least most of the trends that we've seen in the financial sector has been mostly you know, the business being the core driver, and you know, IT being more the follower. You know, but you know, with the advancement of so many technology and the fact that IT is making such a tremendous impact into giving competitive advantage to you know, traders alike, it definitely is a great possibility.
So you're saying that the people will start following, the business will start following where they come from, the age-old approaches, yeah, to how they should run the business.
Sure, sure. And you know, another example is, if you kind of trace back through the course of time, you have, you know, obviously, you know, the front office operations where, you know, trade orders are taken and managed. You have the middle office where they're actually executed and processed. And then you have the back office where the accounting happens. You know, so when you look at all that traditionally, you know, many years ago, they were done by hand. And you just kind of think of how far things have progressed and how that's actually changed the business process. At a stroke of a key, you know, an order is entered, and then, you know, things are executed immediately. And then in the end, you know, all the numbers are being processed with minimal manual reentry, which oftentimes, you know, contributes to a lot of errors and ultimately costs from that. So, you know, when you kind of see the way the process has, you'll see that people will take on different roles within the business process. You'll see an increased number of, you know, administrators, fund administrators, and then ultimately sort of leaving folks who are traditionally researchers, you know, folks that research stocks and equities to do their jobs very clearly and very well informed, and that all the news could be available to them, you know, at a stroke of a key. So, and I want to make sure I tie in a little bit of the compliance aspect too. So we can talk a little bit about that later.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages, and have Will continue on the previous answer, and then follow. We'll have a follow-up question around people, which is, again, another challenge in itself. As we see that there has been a downturn, so people left or were they let go. How do you bring back that brain bank and that knowledge base that we had in those people, and continue with our journey to secure the financial, you know, industry, as well as, you know, making it better for everybody involved? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Markets up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
The Interstate Sportsman Talk Radio Show brings two well-known outdoorsmen to the Voice America Network with hunting and fishing info news, talking about everything from new sporting gear, places to hunt and fish, and getting more from your recreation time. Join hosts Brock Ray and Don Kirk Friday mornings at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, 9 Eastern, for the Interstate Sportsman on the Voice America channel.
Here with Ariel and Shia Kane is an ordinary person's guide to modern-day enlightenment. This show is an exciting exploration which opens the door to living in the moment. Don't miss being here. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern with Ariel and Shia Kane right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So, Will, why don't you continue your thoughts, and then we'll ask that magic question about people.
Okay. So, just to recap, earlier you kind of talked about, business process driving IT, IT versus driving business process. And I think the increasing trend, with IT being a key element now is, a lot of it's also regulatory driven. So if you look at the, regulation, full disclosure, or Reg FD that was implemented a while back, you'll see that basically, traditionally in the old days, your typical retail investors are always think that they're at a disadvantage, when it comes to visibility into, company information and so forth, as compared to institutional investors. Well, after the deployment of Reg FD, that's no more. Every retail investor sitting in front of the computer has just as much access and is able to tap into the level of public information that's available to execute trades with. So with that said, online platforms are most definitely competing to provide their customer with the most value. In that case, they're looking into sourcing news, very accurate real-time quotes. So a plethora of technology, is actually in the hands of the consumer, and kind of empowering them. So from an investor's perspective, has their role changed? Most definitely. Instead of, going through hoops to get the information they need to make an informed decision, now, everything's readily accessible. And I think the amount of visibility and transparency that's available to them to make these decisions is what will set firms apart.
So if we were to now look at the people angle, Rudy, I will start with you. As part of whatever was done over the last few months and or a year or two during the downturn, a lot of people were let go. We let go of contractors, we let go of permanent employees who had the knowledge base. And now we want to rebuild and deliver the results literally yesterday. Do you think it is practical for us to be able to do that without the people who were making that happen earlier? And if they were to be even invited back, why would they even trust their livelihood when they were let go in a heartbeat just because business had to survive?
Right. Well, we didn't. Our company didn't actually do any layoffs during that period, and we were fortunate given the momentum of our business. However, I did. I know many others in the industry, and I don't know of many experiences where there was wholesale layoffs without clear understanding and. Normally, if you had 20 of one type of resource, some got cut off, but you still had the core knowledge base in the business. There wasn't wholesale layoffs within and losing the technology. I mean, as part of my job as a CIO, if I ever needed to reduce resources, you're going to be very strategic about it and ensure that you've got core competencies covered. And so I wouldn't be concerned about. I don't think that is as much of a challenge as the expectations of today's IT workforce is higher in that they're expected to know more about the business as well as doing their IT role. And so I think that the expectations of them is actually higher today in today's world. And the fact that they need to collaborate more and embed more with the business to deal with the change that's going on, I think is a challenge for them. And some, I find a lot of the IT folks are trying to get into, you know, do rotations in the business side of institutions to get better aware of how they can help IT technology deliver better business results.
So do you think now that these people need to know business more? Has there something like this sunk in, or is there some specific thing that you're doing at your end to make that happen?
We do what's called customer connection. So we basically get our every line of business, every technology person in our business has to go and, you know, get plugged into the actual business and side by side, or actually do the work in everything from the call center to the back office check processing to fraud management to risk management. So we ensure that the technology folks are embedded and understand the business's concerns, because it becomes a wide gap when and it's difficult to cross if you don't have the business and the technology folks speaking the same language or having empathy for each other's situations. And so we also invite the business to participate in side by sides with the technology team, so they actually get to spend a day as a project manager or spend a day in our command center, which monitors the systems and transactions. And so, you know, creating that collaboration, I think, is the way to get the next generation of technologists, you know, delivering at the level, at the pace at which we need, and also the quality at which we need.
Well, in your view, was Rudy's case more of an exception versus the norm with respect to the workforce?
I think it's more the norm. And one of the findings that we had is that if you look at the workforce in general, especially due to the economy, you know, you'll find that folks are increasingly being pushed towards a role where they're revenue generating or revenue impacting. These are two of the core roles that tend to stick around. Now, that said, you know, it is increasingly important for executives and managers to identify, you know, how these administrative or IT or staff roles actually trace back to these two elements, whether they're revenue impacting or revenue generating. So, and as you all know, you know, technology has presented a huge case for automation and substitution, you know, sort of in a more politically incorrect, I guess, case for staff. And you'll see that across the board. But, you know, interestingly, in a recent poll that we did, we saw that for any company that is looking to leverage technology and software automation, a primary objective is actually to increase the level of business, meaning the level of transactions, increase the level of revenue, and rather than as a mean to reduce staff. So if you kind of think about it, the classic scenario of doing more with less applies directly, where a lot of IT leaders across the industry are simply looking at ways to better grow the business without hiring extra people, and rather than hiring, using technology as a potential replacement.
Very, very quickly, what kind of business and or IT leadership do you think we need now in this industry to survive? Well, very quickly, 30 seconds.
I think they have to pay very close attention. Open communication between all levels of executive, get executive buy-in into initiatives, and how IT can impact customer base and profitability.
Rudy.
I think the sense of urgency. I think the you've got to both have that sense of urgency and speed, and also be cognizant of the risks and the controls that need to be in place. And so you look at a lot of other industries where you know they execute in a very fast way and but still need to deliver high urgency. It's portable, like an emergency room in a hospital. You know, it's high urgency and high quality.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, thank you so much, Will and Rudy, about for sharing your thoughts. This is an interesting industry, and it's going through an industry interesting transition. And I guess with what IT can potentially deliver, and with some lessons learned, we will see a much more resilient, much more secure, and much more profiting industry as a whole. So, thank you so much again. Now,
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjay Gall next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.